Blog Talk Radio.
Guilt, how man reacts to that. On this evening,
believe we're going to start getting into, you know, we sort of start getting into it already, but, you know, Messiah's role in salvation, because we really need to understand what he did for us. It's not just a matter of just dying for our sins, which that is, you know, the overall of it, but also understanding that, you know, he took our place on the cross. What Messiah went through, the Most High wanted to do to all of us. And so, you know, we read where it made him happy to take out his anger on Messiah. And having taken out his anger on Messiah, then he offered us, you know, to be able to come up under the blood of Messiah and be, you know, have that be accepted as our, as a form of death for us. We died of sin. We get baptized in Messiah, and then we are considered and supposed to be a new creature in Messiah, himself, in Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ. And so we're going to start looking at more so of the role of Messiah and what he's done for us so that, you know, we can really truly appreciate what he did by going up on that cross for us. And then we can also understand how his death plays in our salvation, how his resurrection plays in our salvation, and what's expected of us, you know, because people, you know, we're taught, as I said, different things, but what does the word actually say concerning this? And so we want to look at that in depth, and we will in this lesson. And again, if you have any questions, I don't want you to hesitate to ask. If you're not understanding something that I'm teaching, you need more information, environment, and I don't want to just be, you know, teaching or in a lecture form and you not get what you need out of it. You know, it's that environment where if you have questions concerning anything that we go over, that you ask those questions and get them answered. And I will answer them to the best of my ability. This is one of the areas, if you don't, if you're not saved, if you don't get saved, what difference does anything else make? You know, that's always been my feelings on this, on how the Most High presented to me. If you don't get saved, what difference does any of it make? Because the end result is the same. So, you know, people want to know about prophecy and want to know about all these other things in the Scripture and never secure their salvation. And so, you know, that's what this is for, and so that people can understand this process in the Scripture. Go ahead and do our statement of faith. And I'm going to ask my sister Mary, is everything okay with Sister Denise? I haven't talked to her in a few days, but is everything okay with her that you know of?
Yes, she's okay. I just talked to her. She's going to sign in now.
All right, amen. All right. Yah be the glory. Okay, so let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. And we'll go ahead and we'll get started in this lesson. And just understand that this is, you know, when you're talking to people, when you're explaining to them salvation, one of the things that the Most High has put on my heart in this series, as, you know, as I brought it to the congregation and those that are listening over the internet, is that, you know, we really need to set the expectation up front of what Messiah has done and what he expected, and this is a very serious thing. And so I think more people will be consistent in their walk and more steadfast in their walk if they have the correct to, you know, what the Most High is looking for from us as his people. And what is offered with our salvation. If people understand that, you know, this is a contract that they're entering into, and the contract has terms. And in the terms, you know, the, you know, breaching of the contract is a serious thing, especially a blood contract. It's a very serious thing. And so anytime blood is involved, life is involved. And so, you know, if you looked at it from the standpoint of the mafia, or in the standpoint of a gang, when they jump you into a gang or they jump you into the mafia, it's a lifetime commitment and a lot of people can't just walk away from that. If they try to walk away from it, or if they don't obey, then it costs them their life. If they try to go to another gang, you know, it costs them their life. And they're getting this concept from the Most High. That's how serious this is. And so his plan for us and how we receive salvation and how we can to walk in it, I just don't really believe that the churches are setting the expectation that is in the scripture. So we will go ahead and do our statement of faith, and we'll jump into this. And then on next week, I think we should finish this up today, the plan itself. That's what we're talking about. And then how to execute the plan, how the plan is executed, will be when we look at water baptism and when we look at spirit baptism, being baptized in the spirit, being baptized in the water, because Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the spirit. It's not an either or. It is an and. You got to be baptized in both, born of both. And so we need to understand that how critical it is. And a lot of times, you know, people are taught one, or they say you automatically got the other, or you're not required to be baptized by the water. It's just baptized in the word, by the renewing of your mind. It is all those things. But, you know, to set the expectation so that we approach the Most High the right way. We don't take him for granted. We don't take our salvation for granted, and that we have the correct information that we can walk in it. That is what I have seen has been missing. People are just jumping in. Somebody say, "Hey, you need to be baptized." Then, oh, you need to repent of your sin, and then they got baptized, not really understanding what sin was, or sin is, and so you know, find themselves struggling with some things after they get baptized. That is not the way it's supposed to be done. Okay? And so we want to make sure that you have the correct expectation and the correct understanding, and that you're able to, even when you're explaining it to people, you know, people who have never been, you know, have never tried to obey the Most High, or have been in church and they were playing around, they were at church, but not in church, or they would just talk plainly in error, okay? And that can affect us all in different ways. Some people walk away, you know, this ain't real. Some people get frustrated because they find that themselves not ever actually really being able to accomplish it because the correct expectation was not set. And so this class endeavors to, you know, correct those things and to help you to either correct them in your life or when you are witnessing to people, that you are able to correctly, so that when they come to Messiah, they are real with it. You know, whether they, you know, started off, it was just, you know, they're following the crowd, but this is a very real thing, and it's the most important decision that any person in the world would ever make, because this determines your eternity. And so just understanding what the Most High says is wrong and what man's nature is, and what we put, you know, once we understand what we're fighting, then it makes the fight easier. It's hard to fight something and to overcome it when you don't really know what you're dealing with. And so when we know that, then we're able to go ahead and manifest the things that the Most High wants us to do. That being said, our statement of faith, and then we will get into this lesson. Pray in and get into this lesson. Our statement of faith: I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yahweh of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Then there's the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on today, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name, oh Yah. We magnify your name, for you are our Elohim, and never will we not bow down to you, but to you and to you alone, Father. And so we just give you glory, honor, and praise on today, Father, and we ask that you would guide us in this subject, Father, because there is no more important decision that a person will make with their lives but to come to you for your salvation and to learn to walk in your ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Said, we're going to go ahead and jump into this particular lesson. If you are called into the 516 number and you have a question, then you can press the number 1 and raise your hand. I will acknowledge it, and you can talk. If you are called into the 480 number, you will have to text me. Okay, and you should have my number. But I'll give it here, 602-743-8950. 602-743-8950. Text me and let me know that you have a question, and I will unmute your mic. For those of you who are in the classroom, then you know that you can just open your mic. Excuse me, Brother Miles, or whatever. I have a question, and, you know, I will acknowledge it. And as I said, I will give you my best answer, but always coming from the scriptures. I don't want to give you my opinion. If you can't read it, I won't tell you, okay? Because that's what you have to stand on, is the word of the Most High. That's what we all have to stand on. So if we can't find it there, I'm not going to give you my personal opinion. All right, that being said, on this evening, we are dealing with Messiah, and we are, you know, had a couple of questions left. On last week, we covered that Messiah was nailed to the cross in our place as a substitute or vicariously. In other words, the Most High wanted to take out on us what he did to Messiah. That's what he wanted for everybody. That's why he is a substitute for us, because we're the ones really that's supposed to be up on those crosses. We're the ones really supposed to be dying for our own sins. And so the Most High said, okay, I understand that the nature of your flesh is such that I need to give you a way to do a redo, to start over. And so that is what salvation is all about. Okay, so let's go to First Peter chapter 3, the book of First Peter chapter 3. And let me open up my Bible here. I pray all is well with everybody, and that the weather is doing you fine wherever you're at. And that, you know, life is good to you in whatever you are, you know, pursuing, as long as it's within the will of the Most High. I pray that he is with you in it. All right, 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 18. And the word of the Most High reads, "For Yeshua HaMashiach also has once suffered for sin, that the just or the unjust, that he might bring us to Yah, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Okay, and so we went and read Isaiah chapter 53. That is the prophecy of Messiah. And what, you know, the Most High's will for him was that he would die for us, for many. He's not dying for everybody. Even though this is open to everybody, he's not dying for everybody, because if people reject it, they reject it. If people don't come to him correctly, then they won't receive salvation. And, you know, people, you know, it says all those that believe, if they call on his name, that, you know, he will save them. But belief alone is not the totality of Scripture. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't earn your salvation by works, but you still have to do work. You still have to, you have to believe, you have to hear, you have to believe, you have to do. Getting baptized is a work. Okay? Being filled with the Spirit of the Most High is a gift to repent and submit yourself for that to happen. So he went to the cross that he might bring us back to the Father and come from under the wrath of the Father. Because the bottom line is, we are saved from his wrath. He's going to punish everything that and everybody that's disobedient, that stay that stay in that place of disobedience, that they're unrepentant, that they don't learn how to actually live the way that he wants us to live. So he's going to punish. And he says, before I used to do this stuff, as soon as it happened with Israel, as soon as they would murmur and complain, if they would transgress, then he would punish. You know, when we look at, as an example, Nadab and Abihu, at the dedication of the altar, they were told, hey, to burn incense at a certain time. But they burnt it at the wrong time. And the Most High said, hey, I will be sanctified. I already told you. I will be sanctified in those that come close to me. And he burnt them up right away. He didn't say, hey, you know, I know you meant good, but you messed up. Don't do it again next time. There was no next time for those brothers. He punished them right away. You know, with Uzziah, when David was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, Shiloh, okay, and the ox was being pulled, the ark was being pulled by some oxen on a cart, and the ark was starting to tilt like it was going to fall, and Uzzah, I'll say his name that way. I have to look and see what the proper pronunciation of his name is. He put his hand up to steady the ark. Only Aaron and his sons, his family, they were authorized to touch the ark, but this brother thought he was doing it good and touched the ark. Died immediately. The Most High got angry and killed him. And then the Most High says, okay, now I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to kill you right away. I have chosen a day. And we should be thankful for that because we get a chance to repent. And we don't just get killed right away. Because to transgress 99.9% of his laws is a death sentence. And this is what, you know, I don't believe the church is actually teaching that. But to transgress his laws, 99.9% of them is a death sentence. Okay. And so I'm glad that he is not reacting that way today. And when we sin, you know, we have an opportunity to repent and turn back to him. You know, to say, hey, I learned that this is not right. It's not in accordance with your ways. And I repent and I turn away from it. I die to that act. I won't do that again. I think that, you know, my experience in the church and with a lot of people is, you know, a lot of people intend to walk right, but they really don't understand the consequences of falling. And, you know, the churches have taught that, hey, if you fall, then it's okay. You can just say you're sorry and repent. And he'll forgive you. He's true and just to forgive you. And then people become callous with it. They become nonchalant with it. And they just feel like they can continue to fall and fall and fall. All I got to do is say they're sorry. It doesn't work that way. And so we need to see that and understand that when we are in this series, so we don't take our salvation lightly. Okay. So Messiah died as a substitute for us. What he went through, we were supposed to go through. Okay? What did he bear on the cross for us? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's get verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And the word of the Most High reads, who in his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin. Being dead to sin means that you have repented and you have declared that that act is dead to you. You're no longer going to do it. And this is what, you know, we need to understand, that we need to die to sin. We need to die to the things that we have been prone to. Before we're baptized, come up out of that water, and having not repented and died to those things. And, you know, so you, here's the thing is, you cannot confess anything that you don't know. And the Most High knows this, and he makes account for that. What you confess is what you know you have done. That's what you repent of. What you know is wrong. And you died to it. And because we know it was wrong, if we were doing it, we either learned that it was wrong or we knew it was wrong while we were doing it. He says, now I'm going to allow you to repent of that. So let's go to Numbers chapter 15. Make sure we understand this. This is the way the Most High has always worked. He did not change in the New Testament. He made a way in the New Testament, but he did not change. And so if we don't understand what he did in the Old, we can never understand what he did in the New. Okay? So let's go to Numbers chapter 15. Time to walk through this. And, you know, there's still a long, long ways to go about it, but it's a study. And so you need to know the foundation of everything and work on that. This is the milk, okay? And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Numbers chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you be come into the land of your habitation, which I give unto you, and will make an offering by fire unto Yah, a burnt offering or a sacrifice, in performing a vow, or in a free will offering, and in your solemn feast, to make a sweet savor, a sweet smell unto Yah, of the herd or of the flock, then shall he that offers his offering unto Yah bring a meat offering of tenth deal of flour mingled with flour of a part of a hine of oil, and the fourth part of a hine of wine, for a drink offering, shalt thou prepare with the burnt offering or sacrifice for one lamb. Or for a ram thou shalt prepare for a meat offering two tenths deal of flour mingled with a third part of a hine of oil, and for a drink offering thou shalt offer the third part of a hine of wine, for a sweet smell unto Yah. And when thou preparest a bullock for a burnt offering, or for a sacrifice in performing a vow, and a peace offering unto Yah, then shall he bring with a bullock a meat offering of three-tenths deal of flour mingled with half of a hind of oil. And thou shalt bring for a drink offering half of a hind of wine, for an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto Yah. So Yah is just saying, hey, when you bring a sacrifice to me, this is how I want it done. And, you know, he tells us, don't add to or take away from. Now, we know we don't do any, we can't do any animal sacrifices today. It is a sin, okay? And so we're reading this for historical context, but also to see how the Most High operates, to offer yourself a living sacrifice. And you got to know that it's in the same context, okay? He has an order to things. Thus shall it be done for one bullock, or for one ram, or for one lamb, or a kid, according to the number that you shall prepare. So shall you do every one according to their number. And all that are born of the country shall do these things after this manner, in an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor or a sweet smell unto Yah. And if a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever be among you in your generations, will offer an offering made by fire, of a sweet smell unto Yah, as you do, so shall he do. So the same requirement is for the stranger as it is for the homeborn. So people, when they, you know, when people join the church, it's not up under a different thing than Israel. It's not a different law for Israel, a different law for the Gentiles. It is the same law, but its application and when it applies and how it applies are the difference. And so when people say we're not up under the law, they clearly don't understand, okay? The Most High always treated those that joined him. They had to do the same thing as the homeborn did. Okay, and so when we look at this, the salvific plan that the Most High has put in place, it's not different for the Gentiles than it is for Israel. But the Most High knows that, hey, if you have never been taught my laws, to try to learn all of my laws at one time is culture shock. So for salvation, if you do these necessary things, and we'll read those in Acts chapter 15 at some point, but if you do these necessary things, then you can enter into the kingdom. Then you need to learn everything else as it's applicable up under the new covenant. Just wanted to show you here that the stranger was required to do the same thing that the homeborn was, okay? One ordinance shall be both for you and for the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourns with you, an ordinance forever in your generation. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yah. He doesn't change. And it's critical when we start to read the rest of this, because then we're going to see how the Most High has always treated sin. Whether you were a Hebrew or whether you were a stranger, it doesn't change. Okay? One law and one manner shall be for you and for the strangers that sojourn with you. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land, whether I bring you, then it shall be that when you eat of the bread of the land, you shall offer up a heave offering unto Yah. You shall offer up a cake of the first of your dough for a heave offering, as you do the heave offering of the threshing floor. So shall you heave it. Of the first of your dough, you shall give unto Yah a heave offering in your generation. And this is really just showing, this heave offering is really just showing Yah that you appreciate how he has blessed you. And Messiah being heaved up became our, when I teach that, he was heaved up on the cross. Okay? And he was lifted up. And we should understand what that means as far as the law goes. Okay? And he became the first fruit. You have to understand this, because all of the feast days of the Most High are symbolic of and represent all of these acts. And so they are critical when, you know, when we're studying them to understand what is going on. And if you have error, underline that. Error is something that you don't do intentionally. You error at something, then you may have been taught wrong, okay? But it's not, you know, you're doing what you were told to do in this case, and it's not right. That's an error. Or you thought you were doing something right, only to find out you were doing it wrong. That's an error. But you're not intentionally, knowingly doing something wrong, okay? You think you're doing right, but it's wrong. It's an error, okay? And so the Most High accounts for this. And if you have erred and not observed all these commandments, which Yah has spoken unto Moses, even all that Yah has commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that Yah commanded Moses and henceforth among your generation, then it shall be, if aught be committed, underlined, by ignorance. This is important. If it's done by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation. Now, he's going to do this thing by the congregation, then by the priest, then by the individual. So, if it ought be committed by ignorance without the knowledge of the congregation, then all the congregation shall offer one young bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto Yah, which is meat offering, and a drink offering according to the manner, one kid of the goats of a sin offering. Now, we know we don't do those sacrifices today, but the key word there is you erred in ignorance, not something you knew was wrong and you did it. You did it in error. You did it in ignorance. Okay, that's what you need to understand, because I'm going to show how the Most High operates. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, Numbers 15, verse 25. And it shall be forgiven them. Why? For it is ignorance. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire, unto Yah, and then and their sin offering before Yah for their ignorance. Yeah, you sinned, but it was in error. It was in ignorance. Yah says you can make an the priest can make an atonement for you. Okay, because it was ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel. And the stranger that sojourns among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. All the people were in ignorance. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year. Now, it's a soul, an individual. So, shall sin through ignorance. So if I sin through ignorance, or if you sin through ignorance, you just didn't know. Thought you were doing a good or doing a right, and it wasn't, you don't suffer the same price that Uzzah, when David was bringing back the ark, and he ignorantly or he intentionally touched that ark, and the Most High killed him. Okay? So the Most High didn't kill us here. He says, it's ignorance, and I understand that you're not willfully sinning against me. Then you can make an atonement. He shall bring a she-goat of the first year of the sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance, before Yah, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him, because it was ignorant. Okay, so there's a difference here. That's why you need to underline this word ignorant. And if it's the expectation that is not being set in the churches. You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both of him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourns among you. So this applies to just the homeborn. You sin through ignorance, an atonement can be made. But the soul that does not presumptuously, willfully, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yah. That soul shall be cut off from among his people. That means that he can't make an atonement. And this is what, you know, Yah did not change. He hasn't changed it. So this expectation has to be set. If we willfully sin, if we presumptuously sin, I know if I'm going to do it anyway. What y'all going to do? He don't do nothing in the earth anyway. If we presumptuously sin, then he says, your iniquity shall remain upon you. And then the same reproaches or the same blasphemes, yeah. And so we have to understand that what the true definition of blasphemy is. The same blasphemes Yah, willingly disobeyed Yah, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Yah don't play this. And so we got to understand he doesn't play this. You can sin ignorantly. You can do it by accident. You can make an error. But you can't just willfully sin. Now, men had been willfully sinning from time beginning. Men had willfully sinned against the Most High. And so he says, the whole that sins presumptuously. And we're reading in Numbers 15 and verse 30. Numbers 15 and verse 30. But the soul that does not presumptuously. Before he said, if it's ignorance, it's okay. But the soul that does so presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger. See, this doesn't excuse the stranger. The stranger, in this case, knew and decided he wasn't going to obey. The same reproach is Yah. That reproach in this verse is blasphemy, as I've said before. When you look up reproach, this is blaspheme of Yah, willful disobedience and blasphemy. That's why he says all manner of, well, we'll go get those verses so you can understand this now. When he says all manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. So once you understand that to reproach Yah is blasphemy, to willfully disobey Yah is blasphemy. That's what the definition of it is. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people because he answered the word of Yah and has broken his commandment. Despise the word of Yah, the commandment, and willfully broke it. That soul shall utterly be cut off. Now here is the kicker, the last part of verse 31. His iniquity shall be upon him. Okay. His iniquity shall be upon him. So his iniquity remains with him. His sin remains with him. He's not, can't make an atonement. The priest could not make an atonement for this person. He couldn't go and bring a ram or a lamb and sacrifice it and the priest make an atonement. Yah says it's willful sin. I'm not forgiving that. Okay? Now, this is the way he operates. So we have to understand, well, then how in the world do we come from under our willful sin, our presumptuous sin? How this is where salvation and what Messiah did is so magnificent, so great. A work that you can't, you know, just excuse, because the Most High never forgave this stuff in the past. Now, I can't say never. I only know of one person in the scriptures that he forgave willful sin to. Everybody else paid the price. Okay? Everybody else paid the price that dealt with him. Only one man, David. And so David was the exception. Everybody else? Willful sin, they died. So we have to understand what's going on here. Okay? Let's continue. So understand that the Most High has always forgiven ignorant sin. You erred. You made a mistake. Because when you learned about it, you were to confess. And you were to repent. That, you know, this is not a New Testament thing. You confess the sin. Let me get that. Let me get that verse. You can have it. Go to Leviticus chapter 5. Okay, now this is talking about swearing, you know, taking an oath. But this is the same concept. Okay, Leviticus chapter 5, starting in verse 4. Or if a soul swear pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, when he knows that he either did good or he did evil or didn't perform his oath, then he shall be guilty in one of these. Guilty. Now, what is this guilt? Because that he is guilty means that he has sinned. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, then he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Yah for his sin. So when you know of it, that you have sinned, then you confess it. They were required to confess it. Our forefathers, the Hebrew Israelites, they were required to confess that they had sinned. So it's not a new thing in the New Testament. The Most High wants us to acknowledge that we have sinned. And then he wanted us to repent of it. And you could bring a trespass offering. Because whether you did it, what, in error. When you found out about it, that, hey, I made an oath, I didn't keep it, or I broke it some kind of way, a vow, I've sinned. Because now, I may not have known that I have done it. But when I learn about it, then I have to confess it. And then bring a sin offering. So confession for sin is not a New Testament thing. Now, you can't confess what you don't know. That's why it says in that verse, in verse 4, when he knoweth it, when he knows it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. As long as you don't know it, he says, you're guilty, but you don't know it, so you can't confess it. So this is the way the Most High operates, has always operated. When you learn something that you're supposed to be doing or not doing, supposed to be doing, when you learn it one way or the other, then you confess, I have sinned. But I wasn't willfully sinning. I was ignorantly sinning. And the Most High says, okay, you have trespassed. You have transgressed my law. You didn't know it, but now you know it. So confess it, that you have trespassed, and bring me a sin offering. Well, this one in the New Testament, Messiah just simply says that you can confess it, and he is true and just to forgive you your trespass. Okay? But it has to be ignorant. Because people think that, and we're going to talk about willful sin in the New Testament. This is what Messiah did for us. Now, Old Testament, under the law, you willfully sin. You could not bring a trespass offering for that. Because you despise my word. You despise my commandment. You intentionally broke it. You can't bring an atonement for that. The priest can't atone for you for that. Willfully. New Testament, we're going to learn that all of our willful sin, he forgave, but this is not an ongoing thing. This is what we need to understand. So when you are explaining this to people, that you give them the correct expectation that they can't just willfully keep sinning and think that the Most High is going to say, okay, you can come and confess that, and it's okay, you're forgiven. It doesn't work that way. Never has worked that way. Okay? So we see that we have to confess. Okay? And when we know, then we are guilty. And the Most High is going to bring somebody to you to let you know, hey, that what you were doing, that ain't right. That ain't right in the eyes of the Most High. You need to repent of it. Confess it and repent. Turn away from it. And then the priest can make an atonement for you. Okay, now this was at a one-for-one thing in the Old Testament. Saying that to reproach Yah is called blasphemy. And so that means to willfully disobey him. It's blasphemy of him. Okay. So let's go back into the New Testament. Give me a hot second. Let me get my dictionary out so I can spell this word right. And let's go to Matthew chapter 12, the book of Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to get verses 31 and 32. in the word of the Most High read. Therefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy. You got sin that is something that is not unto death, like the cleanliness law, sin to be unclean, but it's not unto death unless you do something while you're that way that you're not supposed to do. All manner of sin and blasphemy. Now, the all manner of sin, he's talking about ignorant sin, okay? And blasphemy is willful sin. Let me say that again. All manner of sin is ignorant sin, and blasphemy, willful sin, shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. Now, this is to come against the Most High directly. Because when you blaspheme him, you disobey him, you blaspheme him. But when he says blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, this means that you are coming specifically against him. So you might disobey a commandment willfully, but you're not coming directly against him. A difference there. I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, and you know, the Holy Spirit is nothing. I've heard people intentionally blaspheme the Spirit of the Most High. That's the Holy Spirit. Intentionally blaspheme him. The scripture says that will not be forgiven in this world or the world come. So we got to understand the difference. Willful disobedience against the Most High is blaspheming. Is blaspheming the Most High. That is what we're told in Numbers. Willful disobedience is blasphemy. But to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that will never be forgiven. So when somebody does that, you know, you can, you know, I would say don't even pray for them, because you're praying against what the Most High has already pronounced. This is my will. And whether they do it ignorantly or intentional, you know, that's in the Most High's wheelhouse. Then, yo, bro, what you just did, I ain't got a dog in that race. If I were you, I would get on my face and go before the Most High and ask for his forgiveness, and then you just have to wait and see if he forgave you for that, if you did it in error. If you intentionally did it, I'm sorry, bro, but you just damned. Period. You did it to yourself. So I'm not going to even pray for you or tell you what to do, because the word of the Most High is clear. You intentionally did that thing, and he says it will not be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. So understand that all manner of sin, ignorant sin, and blasphemy, willful disobedience against the Most High, shall be forgiven unto men. Before the Most High said, hey, if you blaspheme me, you despise my word, my will, my commandment, it will not be forgiven unto you. Now, we read this, and we might think that this is a continuous, ongoing thing. It is not. It is not. So willful disobedience forever, and the Most High is going to forgive you. So let me show you in the scripture why I say that, and that this is not just Brother Miles' opinion. Go to Romans chapter 3. So we have an understanding of this, because this is the expectation that we need to give to unbelievers, to those that are seeking the Most High, so that they come correct, so that they come to him correctly, and they have the correct expectation. Go to Romans chapter 3. And again, I'm reiterating this so that, you know, we get a full grasp of this. I think it's about verse 25, 26 in there. Starting verse 23. Verse 23. Context. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Elohim. Everybody has sinned and come short of his glory. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Yeshua. Now we got to understand this grace. Because this grace is not something that runs forever. It does and it doesn't. So grace is throughout all generations until Messiah comes back. This offer is on the table, and the Most High is going to extend his hand and extend grace to all sinners, to him. And you accept that gift of grace, you get to use it once. Once. It's not forever. Just keep reading. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a replacement, a payment through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins, underline, that are past. Underline it. Messiah died for your sins that are past, not your future sins. When you come to him, you confess what you know you are guilty of, but you can't confess what you don't know you're guilty of. And he will forgive you both your sin, your ignorant sin, and your blasphemy sin. I'm going to forgive you it all. I'm going to give you a clean slate for all your sins that are past. The Most High is going to forbear judgment. Oh, I'm not going to judge you for that. You came and you confessed what you knew. Now you need to learn about what my law says so that you confess if you sin against, because you're going to sin again because you're operating in ignorance. So I'm going to give you a clean slate, and then everything that you know you're doing wrong, you're not going to do it again. That's my grace. If in the past I would not forgive this, that is my grace towards you. I extended grace to you. I forgave your sins that are past. From this day forward, go and sin no more. Willfully. Don't blaspheme me. Now, you still got some things you don't know about. You don't know all my laws. You don't know all my statutes. You don't know all my justice. So I know that you're in again, but you're not doing it willfully. So you can, the day you learn about it, just as I had under the law, you can come and confess it. And I am true and just to forgive you. Go to 1 John. So Messiah died for your sins that are past. You need to tell people that. Past stuff, not future. I think it's 1 John. It's 1-9, but let's make sure. First John 1:1. So to 1 John 1:9, like I said from the beginning. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let's talk about this. If we discuss this verse from the standpoint of we just came to the Most High. We just actually learned about salvation. Somebody is seeking us. And we have not repented. We have not confessed. Okay. Then all of our sins are forgiven at this point. Our willful sins and our ignorant sins. It's forgiven. Okay? That's the one time that you can bring this. Now, after that, willful sin does not apply here. Only ignorant sin. Let me say that again. The first time you come to Messiah and you accept that he is your master and your savior, he is your redeemer, and you confess your sins, he is true and just to forgive you your sins, your willful sin and your ignorant sin. He's going to forgive you. He's going to give you a clean slate. But this verse only applies to your willful sin one time. Things that you knew already. And now you have been taught. You have received the truth concerning this. Then he is true and just to forgive you. Now, as we said earlier, you're not going to know all the law, and you're going to sin again. But it's ignorant. You didn't know, because surely, if you knew, you wouldn't do it. So it's ignorant. Now, when you come with ignorant sin, you can redo this again. Confess sin, and he is true and just to forgive you because it was ignorant, as he did up under the law. Now, how do you know that, Brother Miles? How do you know that that don't continue to apply to willful sin? Go to Hebrews, chapter 10. Because you need to teach people this way so that they take this seriously and they have the correct expectation. That they're not just going down in that water and getting wet and coming up, not knowing and understanding the consequences of what they're getting into. You're a sinner. You need to repent and be baptized, but never really tell them what they're doing. So before they even get baptized, they need to understand so they can dive to this stuff, how we were taught, so they can truly die to it. I'm stopping that. I'm putting it away. I'm dying to that. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. So we understand when Messiah took our place and what he's offering us, there's nothing more valuable on this earth. No greater or important decision that a person can make in their life. Hebrews chapter 10. And remember, as we read in Numbers chapter 15, there's a difference between ignorant sin and presumptuous or willful sin. Make sure they understand that. Hebrews chapter 10. Starting in verse 26. For if we sin willfully, when? After we have received the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is the Most High has never forgiven willful sin. It was not his way. But Messiah, he offered grace. And the grace is, you can bring your willful sin to me once, and I will forgive you for it. But you're not going to sit here and willfully disobey me forever. So you bring it to me once. And if you do it again, after you know the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. There ain't no blood for that. Can't put it up under the blood of Messiah. Can't put it under the grace. You use that. I forgave all of your sins that are past. Now, this is something in the future. And you knew it was wrong. You did it anyway. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. It is but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. That's the lake of fire. Found guilty, judged to be guilty, and now your punishment is the lake of fire, which shall devour the adversary. Now, it takes you back into the law that we just read in Numbers chapter 15. Because he said, those that they had that willfully sinned despise the commandment of Yah. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment, suppose you, do you think, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the son of Elohim? You didn't take what he did for you seriously. Basically saying, hey, you look back and you knew this and you spit on what he did. And has counted the blood of the covenant with which he was sanctified an unholy thing. Dirty. Not worth you keeping. And has done insult unto the spirit of grace. I had grace on you. I forgave your willful sin. And now you're going to go back and do it again? Because there ain't no blood for that. So you got to set the expectation for people. Because 99.9% of all people have done this. Me, you, everyone else. Why? Because we were taught. All we got to do is confess our sin. He is true and just to forgive us, no matter how many times we do it. If we do it, he's going to advocate for us. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But you did know. So there ain't no forgiveness for that. People playing with Yah, playing with Messiah. Playing with him and thinking that they're going to make it in. And so we got to understand, when he went to that tree and was hung on that tree, that cross, and the Most High took out his anger on Messiah, that's what he wanted to do to you. He said, but you deserve a punishment worse than death. Yeah, I killed them in the Old Testament for this. But you deserve something worse than death. Because you have despised and spit on what Messiah did. See, they're not going to tell you that. But we have to tell people. We have to tell the next generation. We have to tell the stranger and the homeborn, hey, you come to Messiah, this is how you have to come. This is not a joke. This is not a plaything. This is a serious matter, how you need to come at that. Because Yah offering us salvation is no little thing. So I pray that you have an understanding of what you're getting into, and that when you explain it to your brother and your sister, when you explain it to your mom or your dad, your husband or your wife, that you set the expectation. If they were taught wrong, they were taught wrong. They were doing this thing in error. Perhaps God will forgive them because they were taught wrong and they were doing it in error. They were doing it how they believed they were supposed to be doing it. But at that point, only thing I can tell you is they need to pray to the Most High and say, I pray that you don't impute my sin against me like David, because David is the only one I find in the scripture that he did that for. He said David was a man after his own heart. David did some wicked mess. And Yah didn't impute his sin against him. Everybody wants to be David. Everybody wants to fall in that category. But if you don't have the heart and the mind of David, if you don't really understand what that means, then just understand this. You know, stop. Ask the Most High not to impute your sin against you, and that you won't do it again. And if he still throws you in the lake, oh well. How much do you really love him? How much do you want him? If your end is still the lake, serve him there. Because he's saying, hey, this is not a joke. This is not a plaything. I'm not dispensing, you know, my grace is not an ATM machine for you to sin and keep sinning and come and get a withdrawal of mercy and forgiveness. That is not how this works. What you don't know, Yah said, I will forever forgive you. I'm not an unrighteous Elohim. I'm not going to condemn you to the lake of fire for something you didn't know. But I will put you in the lake of fire for something you do know. And so we got to understand that this is what Messiah, that grace, that Messiah extended to us, or the Most High extended to us through Messiah. We can't take advantage of it. Because the Most High don't play that. He says, you take advantage of this, you deserve something worse than death. So when we are teaching people, when we are witnessing to people, when they say they want to come to the Most High, set the expectations so that they understand, so that they can count the cost. So that they can count the cost. Do I want to do this? Is it in my heart to pay this price? Or do I want to stay in my shenanigans? Because he said it, Messiah said it. You got to consider the cost. What do you really have to do to walk this life? To live this life, to belong to him? What do you really have to do? You have to consider the cost. Do it blindly and ignorantly. And so when we are saying the Most High loves us, he does. But he loves those that obey him. He loves those that keep his commandments. He loves those that will do what he says to do and will not be disobedient. I mean, he says it all through this book. So when you're explaining it to them, explain it to them correctly so they have a correct understanding and they can make an informed decision. And so, you know, some people might hear that and say, well, you know, I'll wait to come to the Most High. Yeah, you might wait, and you might die in your sin. Then it's too late. That might have been your call to him the day you hear his voice. Harden not your heart. And then I remember when I was going to this church called Bethel, last church I was in. And I was up in the pulpit. I was the pastor's armor bearer. And, you know, this unction came over me to go get this brother to bring him up for prayer. But at the time in the service, it wasn't time for prayer. And I didn't want to be out of order. But the Spirit was unctioning me to go get him. Well, when the service ended, he left. I never went and got this brother for prayer. That night he died, was killed, and I felt so, so terrible, felt terrible, and then I felt disobedient. So Yah, and I wasn't calling him Yah at the time, but I said, Lord, if I had disobeyed and went and got him when you said to go get him, regardless of what was going on in the service. I said, just want to God, and when you put that in my heart, to go to get it. And so from that time forward, whenever the Most High would unction me to do something, I would not hesitate to do it. I don't care what it was. Because I saw the consequence of it. So make sure that you tell them the truth so that they can count the cost and they can make an informed decision. And they can come into this walk correctly. Because trust me, if they understand this, they will walk in the fear of the Most High. I don't want to transgress, and especially for something that I know is wrong. I don't want to transgress. So this salvation is a serious thing. This salvation is a thing that every person should take very seriously. Care of his. He's going to see to their needs. He's going to bless them. But he don't play. So let's go back. That's your foundation, okay? That's your foundation in the expectation that you need to set. You need to have it for yourself, and you need to set it for everybody that you witness to, for everybody in your family. Have to understand this. Nonchalantly. I was doing it nonchalantly. And this is the way I was taught. Not this way, but you know, hey, do something wrong, just confess that he's too unjust to forgive you. That is not what is written in his word. And what is written in his word is not, you know, when we go back to the old, we find out, hey, never forgave willful sin. Our forefathers couldn't bring willful sin to him. And as I said, if you read the word, you'll find only one person at the Most High, when they were willfully in sin, that he didn't punish them for it. One person. And still David, because of some other things that he allowed. Most of us said, you know, you're not going to get away altogether unpunished in this thing. But I'm not killing you right now. Let's understand that. Make sure that they understand that, hey, they need to really consider what they're coming into. Back to the lesson. That's your foundation. Messiah, what did he do up on the cross for you? He made a way where there was no way. Because we were all willful sinners. We were all ignorant sinners. And we couldn't die for our own sins. But the Most High requires blood for sin. And so Messiah, the Most High extended grace to us. That one-time offer. I'm going to forgive your blasphemies. I'm going to forgive your sins. I'm going to forgive you intentionally, willfully disobeying me one time. So when Messiah came, he paid the price for all your sins that are past. People need to know that. Messiah died for your sins that are past. And when you come to the Most High, you got to come correct. And you got to be willing and understanding that you got to walk correct. He understands you don't know everything yet. He understands that you are going to still sin. But there ain't going to be no willful sin. So you can't be struggling with fornication. Can't be struggling with stealing. Can't be struggling with adultery. Can't be struggling in any of those things that you have to make a choice to do. You got to die to it. And then pray for him to strengthen you. Pray for him to enlighten you. Pray for him to give you wisdom. Pray for him to give you an understanding of his law so that you don't transgress. You do it solely because you didn't know you were doing it. He said, I can understand that, and I can deal with that. And he does. Messiah is not up there advocating for you to willfully sin. Father, they know what they're doing, but forgive them because they're human. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. So let them know this is how you have to come. And then you can serve your Most High, you can serve your Elohim with a clear conscience, knowing that, hey, he's not going to kill you for something you don't know. But he will kill you for something you do know. And serve him with fear and trembling. What did Messiah bear on the cross for us? Go back to 1 Peter 2 and 24. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24. And the word of the Most High reads, who his own self bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Dead to sin. You die to the stuff that you know is sin. And if you, and you're living unto righteousness, another word for righteousness is lawfulness. You're keeping his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances. That's righteousness. That's what he has determined is right. You're living unto righteousness, and you're dead to sin, transgression. And if you find out that you are transgressing, then you can confess it. You were doing it in error. You found out about it. Oh, Most High, I didn't know I was supposed to keep Sabbath. I've been up in this Sunday church all my life. I see clearly that I'm supposed to be keeping your Sabbath. I confess that I have been transgressing, and I will now keep your Sabbath every week, and I'll keep your feast day, your yearly feast day. I'll keep your monthly feast day. All that you have said I will do, that I know to do. 21. So Messiah bared our sin. So we're supposed to be dead to everything we know. It's sin. And we stand especially before we got baptized. That's why they shouldn't just up and baptize somebody because they've been convicted by one message. But they need to know what they're getting into. And today, whether you are Jew or Gentile, it's about the same because most of our modern-day Hebrew brothers and sisters caught up in the church, they don't know the laws of the Most High. So you might as well treat them like Gentiles as being ignorant. Tell them what thus says the Scripture. Abstain from things strangled. Abstain from meat sacrificed to idols. Stop fornicating. Stop, don't eat blood. That's what you're required to tell the Gentile nation. Because they don't know the law. And to get into the kingdom, that's all you got to tell them. And it's expected that they will learn after that. And as they learn, they confess. Most of us say, don't shotgun blast them. But tell them, you know, hey, you need to consider the cost of this. I'm doing these things, as the Scripture has said. And you might as well say that of our Hebrew brothers and sisters as well. If they're living as Gentiles. They got a little bit more to do than the Gentiles. Because in order for our brothers and sisters that they even have part of the land, They have a claim on the land. They got to be circumcised. That has nothing to do with salvation. That has to do with having a claim on the land. The Abrahamic covenant. Don't have to do with salvation. So they don't have to be circumcised to be saved. But they do have to be circumcised in order to say, I'm a Hebrew Israelite, and when Messiah comes back, I want my portion in the land. And then those Gentiles who want to have a portion in the land, because they want to have a portion in the land, have to be circumcised after the fact. But they get to make a claim in the land as well. Different teachers. Okay. Still got to follow the law. There will be one law. The same law for the Hebrew, the homeborn, and the stranger. We've got to apply the law lawfully in accordance with what the Most High has said. So for salvation, it's not required for the Gentile to be saved. And it's not required for the Hebrew to be circumcised if he's been living like a Gentile. But once he claims his heritage, then he's got to start learning the law and living by that law. And if the Gentile wants to join Israel and become part of Israel and have a claim in the land, they must also. But just know that this law, commandments, and statutes, worldwide when Messiah returns. Each nation is not going to have their own law. Each nation is not going to be worshiping their own God. That's for now. But when he returns, all that goes away. But I digress. Go to Romans chapter 4. What Messiah died on the cross for. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And the word of the Most High reads, who has delivered us for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. See, we are justified in him. We're not justified because of ourselves. None of us can say that we were good enough to be saved. None of us can say that we were worthy or are worthy. That's what Messiah did, and that we get to have credit by coming up under his blood and then being obedient. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Messiah didn't know any sin, but he was made to be sin for us. And then the Most High took out his anger on him for us. You know what? I can't stand you. You in that sinful way. You want to be a king? Let me put the crown of thorns on your head and have somebody beat it into your head. You think you're going to be an unrighteous king, a sinful king? You think you're going to use unhealthy weights or whatever? Let me have them to rip your back open. Let me have them to punch you in the face. Let me have them to hang you on that tree. This is what the Most I wanted to do to us. But I'm going to do it to one. Messiah brought into the world. And for this purpose was he killed in our place. But just know that all this stuff that he was beaten beyond recognition. I said, that's what I wanted to do to you for your disobedience. But I did it to him. So he was delivered for our offense. He was made sin for us. This side treats sin. Look closely. Because I'm not having no mercy on him. And it pleases me to do it. Read in Isaiah 53. It pleases me to punish him in your place. This is what I want to do to you. And I say, pleasure doing it. Who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of Elohim, that we might be made the righteousness of Elohim in him. So we can never forget what he's done for us. We can never, that's why if we know what he's done for us, he says, now if you willfully sin, knowing what I've done for you, there ain't no blood for that. And you deserve a death. You deserve something worse than death. Now, those that have listened to this in the past, you know what that punishment is. Those that haven't, I'm going to ask you to imagine, what could be worse than death? What is now offered through the name of Jesus or Yeshua? What is offered? Now, I've laid the foundation, so we should be able to answer that, you know, very easily. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2, 38. Now, this is the day of Pentecost. This is when the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, was released into the world. And the disciples are speaking in tongues so that everybody there understands the message. The Germans, the Greeks, the Italians, the, you know, those from Mesopotamia, Egypt, all around that area was represented. And it was represented by devout Jews. These devout Jews, is you know, that's a person that's trying to do right, to keep the law. They're doing everything that they know to do. They still aren't doing it perfectly. They're not keeping it, but the Most High has them there as witnesses. And when they hear this news, they are pricked in their heart. That they would like their heart exploded. And they want to know, what shall we do? It was seeing that we crucified our Savior. What shall we do? What can we do? Peter says in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sin, the forgiveness of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Besides that, you must be born of the water, be baptized, and you must be born of the Spirit. The first part of that, you got control over. You can choose to be baptized. So when we get into those lessons, then I will explain to you how you receive. You see, a lot of churches will tell you automatically receive the Holy Spirit. Not so. It is a gift. And the Most High does give it freely. But you got to ask him for it. And you got to be truly repentant. The Most High, where is the Spirit at? I want it. I want to be just like you. I want to be guided by you. You see, a lot of people aren't even taught to even ask for his Spirit. But I'll show you in the verses where you have to ask, and then you have to find somebody that has the Spirit already, and will lay hands on you, because the Spirit is transferred that way. But I'll show you in the Scripture. So you can't say, Brother Miles. So repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. That word should say Spirit there. They translated it to ghost. Acts 4 and 2. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And let's get verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which You must be saved. You can't be baptized in the name of Buddha. You can't be baptized in the name of another God. You cannot be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those aren't a name. Those are titles. The name of the Father, in the English, in the Hebrew, Yeshua, Yah. He does not do it in my Son's name or in my name in the flesh. Nonetheless, Yeshua. Those will be acceptable. But it has to be in his name. So if you got baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those are titles. You need to be go back and be rebaptized in his name, for there is no other name. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is not a name. And when you read in the scriptures, they're always baptized in the name of Messiah. I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ in your English. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name. Luke 24 and 47. Luke 24 and 47. In the word of the Most High reads, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In his name. So you got to be baptized in his name, and in all things you want to do it in his name. How do we receive salvation? It's verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. What is your faith? Believing that the Elohim that you have never met, never seen, and the Messiah whom you have never seen, that the Most High, that Messiah came into the world and died for your sins. That's your faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of Elohim. See, we were created in iniquity. We were created in unrighteousness. The very sex act that we were created by, the Most High said, was an unclean act of a man lying with his wife and depositing semen in her was an unclean act. And if she conceived by that, then you were conceived in iniquity. So all have sinned. Your very conception was sin. So the Most High made sure that nobody can say they're not a sinner. Nobody, except for Messiah, because the Most High took the man out of the way. That's why Mary had to be a virgin. Did not have been a sex act there. So Messiah was born without sin. But everybody else came through the womb, born of sin. And if we said we are not a sinner, then he says, then you are a liar. If we say we have no sin, then we are a liar because our very conception was considered to be sin. When we get into holy and unholy, then I will show you that your conception was sin. That for our lesson tonight. Verse 9. Not of work. Least any man, yeah, I keep the law perfectly. I have never, ever sinned. I've always obeyed your voice. Why do I need Messiah? Son, all have sinned. But how? Son, your very conception was sin. And I made it, I declared it to be that way intentionally. So none of you could claim that you were good enough or brag by your work. I don't care if you kept my law perfectly, you were a sinner. You are a sinner. You cannot get around Messiah. I pray we understand this. You cannot get around Messiah. Can't say you don't need him. Can't say that you are good enough in and of yourself. You don't need him. No man can boast. Yeah, I don't need Messiah. You give me eternal life based upon my own works, based upon my own life. He said, nah, you can't get around this. I made sure of it. You didn't have nothing to do with your conception. So the very fact that you are here, right, we get this. When should we seek salvation? Because, you know, as I said, the way that I teach this, some people might say, hey, I just need to wait. I got stuff I want to do. And Yah has said that it is wrong. And there might be some stuff I want to do I don't even know is wrong, but it's in me to do it, and I want to do it. And I don't want to live holy and righteous right now. Or I don't believe I need to do this. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I got tomorrow to do it. I'll wait for them. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You might say, I got tomorrow. I'll get right tomorrow. Step out and go to the club tonight. Somebody shoot you. Walking across the street. Somebody run over you. Stand and minding your own business. Next to that skyscraper and someone falls off the skyscraper and hits you in the head. Kill you. Most I say, oh, you just bowled down there. Just a little bitty nickel size. Falling 120 miles an hour, hit you in your head, and be like a gunshot. This is not promised to you. So, you don't want to say, I'll do it tomorrow. Go to Isaiah 55, the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And let's get verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye Yah while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. If the Most High is functioning you and putting on your heart that you need to get saved, you need to, you know, straighten up your life. You're not doing that on your own. He's unctioning you and telling you, better come on. I'm close. we can straighten this thing out. We can reconcile. Five and verse seven. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto Yah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our Yah, for he will abundantly pardon. If the Most High is going to forgive you for all your sins, he's pardoning abundantly, and he's merciful if you repent, if you come at him the right way. I'm not just going to forgive some of your sins. I'm going to forgive it all. That's abundant. Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. So, we don't want to wait, but we need to be taught, so that we can have the proper expectation. And people need to be able to consider the cost. Do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do this? Because the bottom line is, a lot of people don't even know what the cost is. Find out what it really is, and they're not prepared for it. And that's like taking you for a ride in a Rolls Royce, because they take the Rolls Royce sign off of it. Get you used to that smooth ride. Say, yeah, you can have it. And then they tell you what the price is. I can't afford that. Oh, this ain't for you. So before we stop on this evening, we're going to stop right here. Let me get one verse for us. Give me a hot second. Let us go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, verse 28. The book of Luke chapter 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish. So you need to count the cost. What is Messiah saying that he wants from us? And what do we have to do, and what do we have to give up? And are we willing to pay that cost, pay that price, and then make that decision? Because many people enter into this walk not knowing what it's going to cost them. Okay, not knowing that, hey, I got to give my all. I can't love mother, brother, sister, father, husband, wife more than I love Messiah. Got to love him more than I love even myself. Are you willing to pay that cost? That price? If not, this is not for you. No. Okay. Got to consider the cost. That's why I say we need to set the expectation. So people enter into this with the right expectation, knowing what it's going to cost them. Wish I had been taught this way from the very beginning. That being said, are there any questions? Any questions on this evening? Anything that you've heard?
No, Brother Miles, I don't have any questions.
All right, thank you, my sister. No questions from anybody? All right. Then we are going to go ahead and pray out for this evening. I pray that you all attend the business meeting on Thursday. I pray that you have a blessed evening on tonight. May the Most High bless from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. Can I love you like the Most High loves you? Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom and happy Tuesday. Peace and blessings to you and your family.
Yahoo!
Shalom, brother and sister Miles. Shalom, family.
Peace and blessings. For all those who left, we'll see you guys next week as well. Hopefully. Go back and listen to this. Peace and blessings.
Guys, have a good evening.
You too. You and three other people here, they left.